thank you, Father.
Well, praise God. Give me just a second to look over all of your smiling, lovely faces this morning, because there's a reason why, and God wants to do something. Amen this morning. Praise God. Aren't you glad that you're saved? Amen. Aren't you glad you've been united with God? Aren't you glad that the reality is there is no difference between you and Jesus? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that all people have to do is get to you and they'll be able to get to God? Amen. Praise God. That's the reality of what happened to us. Amen. That's the actual reality of salvation. What we call heaven is just a bonus. Amen. Being with Him forever was the objective. Amen. Living with Him and Him living with us and abiding together with Him and living from a different place was why Jesus came to save you. Amen. Now, I'm sorry. I'm getting all kind of all over the place, but what you got? You got anything?
I was going to say, you popped the clutch.
I did. I'm sorry. Woo!
There we
I'm
went.
Just excited, amen. See things. So this is my lovely wife, amen. She's put up with me for 26 years, amen. You wouldn't believe it. She doesn't look 65, does she? I'm teasing.
He is a stink. Somebody cut the mic off. No, I'm just kidding.
Before we get in, and I'm just mindful of time, but just want to follow the Spirit. You'll see us. She might sit down. She'll get up. We'll do stuff. We love to share together, but I'm going to ask you to just stay with me as we do the first thing this morning. Okay. And everything. If you want to turn in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter, please. And I'm a wanderer. I'm sorry, Mr. Sean. I'll wander gently and let you get used to me. If it gets really obnoxious, just turn me off. I'm real loud, right? So I've got no problems with that. Amen. But Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we're going to look at the 24th verse. And here, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but Paul told us why we come to church. Why do we gather as believers? Why do we come, and why do we do this regularly, every week, or every how often? And he says this, he says, and you know this, he says in verse 25, and we're going to back up, he says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as is the habit of some, but exhort one another, even more so, because the day of the Lord's return is approaching." Right? So he says here that we have a habit of coming together, but verse 24 tells us why. It says, "So that we might consider one another." So I love that. And have that stimulate love and good deeds in us. So when we come to church, that word consider is a unique word in the Greek language. The word consider, it's a visual word. It literally means I see you with my eyes and I slow down and I pay attention to who you are. And when we see people, then the Holy Spirit stirs up love and good works in us. Right? So, if you remember, throughout Jesus' ministry, there were about five occasions that I found. My search or study isn't exhaustive in this, but there's just five occasions that I found where it says, and Jesus was moved with compassion. You remember those stories? It says in one, it says, and he was moved with compassion, so he taught them how to pray. In one place, it says he was moved with compassion, and he healed them. In another place, it says he was moved with compassion, and he fed the 5,000. There was one day, it says he was leaving Jerusalem, and he saw a funeral procession come, and he was moved with compassion, and he raised that widow lady's son from the dead. Right? But every one of those stories is preceded by this phrase, and when he saw them. When he saw them, then compassion welled up from his heart, and he was moved into action. Because, church family, you will never touch what you're unwilling to see. And you have to be willing to see people and allow God to show you something so that then love and good works will stir up and God can move through you. So when you come to church, you are coming to see each other. And not just in the only, hey, how are you? How was the week? You doing good? You know, and you're catching up. But you're coming that you might see things. So, Pastor Chad, if I can, with your permission, when I walked in for prayer this morning, and this is why you're still here saying, just trust in you. Sister, what's your name in the gray shirt? Tasha, and I haven't met you yet, have I? But you're the pastor's daughter, aren't you? I did not know that when I saw you this morning, but I knew it by the Spirit of God. Now, later, she told me, right, because I asked if she had met you yet, but can we pray for you? Amen. Would you come here, please? And this is where I need you. And so, Miss Tasha, I don't know anything about you, and I don't know your story. I just only know that when I saw you, God highlighted you. And if we can just do this as we get ready to pray, I want to help the church. This is how it works. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And it's not super spiritual. It's just really normal that you see people and God will highlight people. And Brother Hagin trained us so many years ago, and his parents in the faith were Mom and Pop Goodwin. And Mom Goodwin would say this often. She would say, I just let the love of God be a string around my heart and allow that love to pull me to people. And that's all that's happened this morning, is when I walked in for prayer and somehow I saw you and the Holy Spirit just highlighted you, and all morning it's been like there's been a spotlight on you from God. Amen. So if you want to just get ready, I want you to lay hands on her. Amen. And so I'm just going to follow the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. So I just declare over you a complete restoration. A complete restoration. From whatever hurt, whatever pain, whatever disappointments may have been. Amen. That you and your soul are free. Yes. Amen. And you need to know that he smiles at you. And you make your Father in heaven so very happy. Amen. He's just pleased with you. He's just tickled. Amen. He's never aggravated with you. He's never upset at you. You never frustrate him. You are simply and always will be a joy to his heart. Yes. Amen. So again, just whatever pain has come in your life, whatever connection you've made and you thought that was something that was never from God, and he heals that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything to say?
And it had nothing to do with you. And the restoration of your soul will happen in your times of worship, because you are a worshiper. You Amen. Don't just sing. You are a worshiper. And that is where those times of restoration will come, because he will show you a new picture of who you are in him. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. You're welcome.
Now, nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Now, Ken, I'm just a dude. Was that at all accurate for you? Did that help? Was that?
Oh, yeah.
Was that on for you? Did that minister anything to you? Very good. Awesome. Well, let's just praise God this morning for that. Amen. Let's just thank God for who he is and what he does. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being willing. Miss Tanya, right? And Miss Tasha. Amen. But church, that's what that looks like. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Would you like more of that? Amen. Would you like to experience that? Amen. Then all it says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, then all you have to do is want it. It says that if you would desire the things of the Spirit, especially if you would desire to prophesy And all prophecy is. Prophecy may sometimes include a foretelling or a forewarning of something, but prophecy is simply edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's all. That's the basis of prophecy, is to do just what you saw happen this morning. Amen. So if you desire it, and if you're willing to just keep your eyes and your heart open and let God show you people, you'll be amazed how much heaven wants to talk through you. Amen. Praise God. You'll be amazed at how much life God wants to do through you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, say, you got anything else?
This morning that, well, let's start with this. Please repeat after me. For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
And his mercy endures forever.
One more time. For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
And his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah.
That, coupled with your worship this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Is exactly what you need any moment that you feel like something's not going well.
Amen.
Just say those words out of your mouth, but from your heart.
Amen.
And then get in that spirit of worship, because what you guys have here is worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. None of you are just going through the motions. I've led worship since I was 13. That's a really, really long time. And I've seen people do the polish thing. I've seen people do the performance thing. I've seen people just sing along and do the thing where they stand, you sing, you sit. I mean, it's like Christian karaoke. But this was worship in Amen. Spirit and in truth. And so engage with that. So if you are confronting a situation where you're like, this is not going well, go, you know what? The Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
And his mercy endures forever. And that will stir up that worship inside of you. And then just worship him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. And so in just the same vein, always our heart just to follow the nudges and the leadings of the Spirit of God. So that's just what we enjoy to do so much. So please be believing with us. Amen. Please be continuing to hook up your heart and your expectation. Amen. That God is going to talk to you today. He's going to speak to you through his word. He's going to illuminate things to your mind and your imagination. And he is going to expand you today. But in the same vein, when we came, I was so excited. You know, Pastor Chad and Miss Gina, they were talking and told us about prayer. And just again, I'm just going to be real. I'm from Alabama, y'all. Did y'all know that? I mean, if you can't tell, I am not from around here, right? So I like to say, you know, I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but bless God, I am in the drawer. Amen. And so I'm just going to share with you just kind of some things as we do this, just how easy it is to follow God. It is really easy to hear from God and follow him. He will give you what I call nudges. He will give you impressions. He will give you images in your imagination. Amen. So you will know things, you will hear things, and you will see things. Because God leads and guides you through your senses. Amen. Amen. Every now and then there may be an extra uber special something that may happen. But the very normal thing is God leads you in a way that you know and you understand. So through my whole life, God has always led me in what I call knowings. Again, I just know. Right? Things will happen. Things will come up. I mean, I could take all morning and go just time after time after time that I will bump into something and I'll just know. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that may all be about, but there's an answer in there, and let me engage with that. So we're at dinner last night and we were just talking, and hey, what's church like? You know, what time we need to be here? You know, that's a good thing to know. They just parentheses and just, you know, basic stuff, right? When you can ask an obvious question, you don't have to lean on the Holy Spirit. Amen. I call it the ministry of the obvious. Right? Because, you know, John in his first letter talked about the ministry of the obvious. He said, hey, listen, if you can see somebody in need and you have the ability to meet the need, you don't have to call a prayer meeting. Just go meet the need. Right? So it's the ministry of the obvious. So I needed to know what time church started. So I said, hey, Pastor Chad, what time's church start tomorrow? And he said, oh, we get going at 10. And then he just said, he goes, we do prayer at 9:15. And on the inside, you need to be at prayer. And I just knew, right? Even to the point where I looked at his hand, I really want to go do that, right? And Selena, I love my lovely wife. She's so good. I'm going to pick on her just a little bit. She goes, well, you can go to prayer and come back and get me. Because she goes, I'm going to do my hair and enjoy Jesus and sip some coffee, right? I'm going to be here. But but hey, listen. But I said, okay, that's fine. I'll be glad to. Hey, and I say that not just picking on my wife just because it is a little bit of fun. You did come. And you still came, and it's awesome. So it's all good. But what I say about that for you is, hey, listen, when God nudges you, don't let anything deter you. Because sometimes when God nudges us and God bumps us, right, we have to be willing to sit there and say, well, okay, even if I have to go back and get her, which is just fine, then that's okay. I'll still go do what I felt nudged to do. And that's free for somebody today. But when we came, and I'm so glad you came, and I know I'm picking it, and we did, hey, she's not going to be mad at me later. All right, we pick on each other pretty good. And so you don't have to pray for intervention or counseling or any of that kind of stuff. But I just knew I needed to come for prayer, and now we know why. I didn't know what God wanted to do with Miss Tasha's life. But also during prayer, the Lord said words for this church family. And then it confirmed about a week or so ago when, I mean, we knew we'd been knowing since July when Pastor Chad and Miss Gina invited us to come today. And so as always, I just kind of let the Lord lead and guide me and all the stuff. And so always been praying about it. But about a week ago, you know, and again, this is just Brad. This is okay this morning. I just like to be real transparent. You know, I work a full-time job as well as pastor, as so many ministers do. I just kind of I've learned to lean on the Lord and let him guide me in life. Amen. And it takes all the stress off. Somebody needs to know that too. Amen. Because it ain't about you. It's not about your performance, and it's not about do you look good. It's just simply about are you willing to go? Are you willing to do? So again, so I finished up duties and doing stuff, and we were about a week or so out from coming here today. And as I'm apt to do, I say, okay, Lord, what you want to say? So just kind of begin, and he began to nudge me in a certain direction that we're going to talk about here in some of our time today. And it's one of those, I'm learning, but like so much, you know, you can kind of go, yeah, God, but I've never really talked about that subject much. Then the human side gets in on you. Let me go get one of those good sermons that everybody bragged about a few months ago, right? Because I would like to be invited back. Right? You know, but you have to sit there and say, but no, I'm just going to, he just kept bringing it up. And I call it, I'm a fisherman. Anybody else fishing around here? So I call it bobber theology. Anybody fish with a bobber out here? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? A bobber afloat? Do y'all call them bobbers out here? Or is that an Alabama term? Okay. So I call it bobber theology. If something just keeps popping up, it's probably God. If it just keeps popping up to the surface and popping up to the surface and popping up to the surface, again, I just say, you know, I'm just going to go that way. So today's message just kept popping up and popping up and popping up and popping up. And again, and we're going to get to it here, the heart of it. But then when we came to prayer, God added to it. So this is for you guys as a church family. You are bigger than where you are today. You are more than conquerors over any of your troubles. And you are greater than the enemy and the challenges that you are facing. So can y'all say that? Can you say, I'm bigger than? I'm more than. And I'm greater than. So that's a specific word for you guys collectively as a church family, but it's also for each of your individual families. So say it again. Say, I'm bigger than. I'm more than. I'm greater than. Amen. You're bigger than where you are today. You're more than conquerors over whatever it is you're facing. And you are greater than the challenges that are facing you right now. And the reason why is because your Father is a God of increase. So today I want us to talk with some time about that. That He is the God of increase. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Holy Spirit, as always, we lean so heavily on You. Help us together, Father, to learn. As always, Father, I ask You to use my mind, use my imagination, use my mouth, my heart, my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this in verse 6. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And if I can be bold enough to say this, Pastor Chad, you know, someone planted this place. You have been watering this place, but God will increase this place. He continues in verse 7, he says, so then neither it is he that plants is anything, nor is he that waters anything, but it is God who gives the increase. Amen. Because our God, our Father, is a God of increase. Why don't you try that out on loud? Say, God is a God of increase. Now try this. Say, He wants to increase me. God wants to make you bigger than, greater than, and more than. Because He is a God of increase. Praise God. And so today we're just going to kind of hammer that down just a little bit. Is that okay? Amen. But I want you to understand that that's what He wants to do for you. Amen. And if you're here today and you're alive, how many people are alive today? Then He hasn't stopped wanting to be the God of increase for you. Amen. I'm looking across and I'm seeing a lot of wisdom in the room today. Amen. I'm seeing a lot of folks that are a little bit older than me. Amen. And He still wants to increase you. He's not done increasing any one of you. Because He is the God of increase. Amen. If you remember, Jesus told two stories. It was really the same story told two separate times. One is in Matthew chapter 25. The other one is in Luke chapter 19. We'll focus in on the one in Matthew chapter 25. If you want to write it down, you can read it later. I'm just going to trust and just go. Does that make sense? Amen. But it's called the parable of the talents, or the story of the talents. And the story goes like this, and it's a parallel of the kingdom of God, and it's actually a story about God. Right? And it says that there was a landowner, a master, who had this property, and he was going to go away on a far journey. And so he took part of his resources and he entrusted them to three of his servants. To one guy, he gave five talents. To one guy, he gave another two talents, if I'm remembering right. And to a third one, he gave one talent. Now again, here, talent, I know in our brain we hear that and we think, I can play the guitar, I can sing, I can do whatever I can do, I can build something, I can make something, I have a physical talent. And so I want you to hold that concept in your mind, because that's also true. But he's also talking about money. I want you to think about this. When you think of talent, he's talking about a big old bar of gold. that probably in today's times would be close to about $1 million. So we're talking about a chunk of money. Amen. So God wants to increase you financially as well. Oh, come on now. Let's not over-spiritualize stuff, okay? God wants to increase you spirit, soul, and body. He wants to increase you spiritually in the talents He's given you. He wants to increase you in your soul with those talents, and He wants to increase your finances, your income, your way of life, the work He has blessed you with here on the earth. So this story applies to all three areas of who you are. So it says that He entrusted this wealth to these people according to their ability. So was God ever being unjust? Okay, now thank you for those two amens right there. Was God ever being unjust? No. Listen to me. Wherever opportunity is now in front of you, you must be ready for, or it wouldn't have appeared. Okay, I'm going to try this side of the room. Amen. Whatever opportunity God has brought before you in your life, you must be ready for, because it's there. Because God would not bring you to an opportunity that would hurt you. He would not bring you to an opportunity that would destroy you. He would not bring you an opportunity, a door to walk through that you were incapable of walking through. Now, it may scare the bejesus out of you. Y'all say that down there. It's an Alabama term. Y'all say bejesus in Arizona? Amen. It might make your backside pucker up just a little bit. Right? You hear what God is asking you to do. You see what door God is opening, and you may go, "Ooh, I'm not so sure about that." But because it has appeared, you must be ready for it. Listen to me. Israel was ready to cross over the first time. They did not have to wander in the desert. When they showed up that day, they were fully ready, fully able, fully capable of stepping into their future. They just didn't believe it. And here's a message within the message. So if you're ever feeling like you're in a desert experience, like you're wandering in the wilderness, then you need to go and say, "God, what unbelief is dying in me right now?" Because the only reason God ever took anybody into the desert was so that doubt could die and faith could come alive. So hurry up and kill whatever doubt that is and get out the desert and come on back around to your opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. That was free for somebody. So here, God, in this story of Jesus, He gives talents, He gives opportunity, He gives these things to these people according to what they're able to do. And then He says, now you go and do business with it. You go and do something with what I've given you. You go and put feet to it somehow. And anybody heard this story before? And you know, it says that then the master goes away. He's away for a while. And then he returns. And when he returns, he wants to kind of see what's happened. He wants to settle up. So he calls the guy with 5 talents to him and says, "Hey, how'd it go?" Y'all remember how'd it go? He doubled it, right? The dude with 5 turned it into 10. And what did the master say? "Well done, good and faithful servant." You want to write that down? We'll come back to it in just a minute. Right? So it says in the story then, He says, good and faithful servant, good job, well done, enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he calls the dude with two. And what did the dude with two, what happened to him? He doubled it. He went from two to four. And what did the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he called the dude with one and he said, hey man, how'd it go? And what did that guy say? He actually said, in Alabama speak, he said, I was skeert. Which is, skeert is a little bit bigger than I was afraid. Right? So he says, I was skeert. I was afraid. I knew that you were a man who increased in places he hadn't touched, who doubled in places he hadn't experienced yet. And I was afraid, so I hid the talent. Now here it is, and he returns it. And what did the master say to that servant? He said, if you go back, he said, you wicked and lazy servant. Now listen to me, guys, listen to me. Here's the part of the point of what we're getting to. God defines faithfulness as increase, not as staying the same. Because in our current world today, we would have called the dude with one talent faithful, right? Because he didn't lose it. He buried it. And I mean, again, and that's not, he wasn't, this wasn't like he was, he put it somewhere safe. He took care of it. He made sure nobody stole it. Right? We would have said today, well, hey, he was faithful. He just stayed the same. But the kingdom doesn't define faithfulness as staying the same. It defines faithfulness as increase. Why? Because our God is a God of increase. Now, just in case you're like me, and you're hearing this story and go, well, dang, Brad, I ain't doubled nothing. Let's go back to the guy with one talent. If you remember the story, it says that the master said, hey, listen, if you'd have just taken the talent to the bank and gotten 1%, I would have said good and faithful. Because the point of the exercise wasn't did you double, it was did you do something with what I've given you? Did you take a chance? Did you roll the dice and make a risk? Did you say yes to the opportunity? Did you go for it and trust me to help you? Because God is a God of increase. Praise God. So church family, I'm here to tell you by the Spirit of God, get ready, because there's going to be opportunities coming. Can I give you another word that God gave me during worship? Y'all all right this morning? Amen. I mean, we can talk about something else if you want to. Amen. I can just pray and we can say amen. We can go eat something. Amen. Family, church, listen. God wants to increase your influence. He wants to increase your voice. He wants to increase your reach in this region. He wants to increase your territory in the hearts of people. He wants to increase your income financially, both as a church and as families. Amen. He wants to increase your vitality, your health, your vigor, your youth. Amen. Some of y'all are here. You need to understand, he wants to increase your youth like the eagle and restore your energy. Amen. Because we need vibrant wisdom walking around. Amen. Hallelujah. You ready for it? I'm trying not to meddle because this is my first time, right? Amen. So when he nudges you to take the walk, know that you're increasing. Everybody needs to hear that. When he nudges you to do the exercise, go for it. Amen. All right, praise God. That one went over real good. Amen. He wants to increase your legacy or your heritage in this place. Amen. These are things I heard, I believe, from God's Spirit to you guys. As a church family and as individual families, I'll read them again so you can write them down. He wants to increase your influence. He wants to increase your voice. He wants to increase your reach. He wants to increase your territory in the hearts of men. He wants to increase your income, both as a church and as families individually. He wants to increase your vitality and your health. And he wants to increase your legacy, what you will leave behind. So I'm challenging and encouraging you to look for the opportunities that correspond with these things, because they will come. You will find these things coming, and what is needed is simply your yes. Let's try that on. Say yes.
Yes.
Let's start one more time. Just say yes. Brother Hagin told us years ago as young preachers, he said, develop the habit of saying yes, because nothing happens to people that say no. So just develop the habit of saying yes. You remember the story, right? There was a young girl, about 13, 14 years old. Her name was Mary. And God came to her with the greatest opportunity brought to any human. You will get to carry the Savior. Now, we all say amen right now, right? Because we know this side of the story. Mary didn't know. I know the song says that too, right? Mary didn't know. No. That's my most humorous Christmas song is because I hear that on the radio, Mary, did you know? And I go, well, yes, she did, because the angel talked to her. Anyway, but that's just my humor. So I always mess that song up for my kids. But Mary really didn't know. She didn't know what the opportunity would present in the way of challenge. Have you thought about that? Hey, here's an opportunity to carry the Savior of the world. It's also an opportunity to be considered a not moral young lady. It's also an opportunity to become divorced. It's also an opportunity to be an unwed mother. It's also an opportunity to be socially ostracized. It's also an opportunity. Have you ever thought about that side? We just think of the Christmas story version. Listen to me. I say that because God's opportunities may challenge our nice, comfortable plan. Because Mary had a plan. It was neat and tidy. I got a good guy. His name is Joseph. Woo! He got a business. He's prospering. Amen. He building houses. Got construction company. Man, cha-ching. We ready. I'm going to be a good Jewish housewife. It's going to look pretty and neat. Because listen to me. Your opportunity to save the world many times will mess up your knee. But will you accept the opportunity? Oh, praise God now. Will you accept the opportunity? And again, be like Mary and says, okay, God, do it unto me according to your word. Here's my yes to your increase. And my desire is to increase at all costs. Does that make sense? My desire, Lord, is I will increase at all cost. Amen. For time's sake, we got like a couple more verses in us. Are we doing good? Yeah. Amen. I'm so glad they bought nice comfy chairs, because I learned a long time that the heart can only receive what the backside can endure. So I'm just checking backsides. Have everybody backside is okay. Amen. Amen. Go to Psalms chapter 115. Psalms chapter 115. Man, so much here, God. It says in verse 12, and again, who is he? He's the God of what? Increase. I love this. Again, Family Church, this verse, number 12, is for you. The Lord has been mindful of you. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have memory problems? He's been mindful of you. Did you know that God thinks about you? Did you know that? It says in Jeremiah, famously 29, verse 11, it says, I know the thoughts, the imaginations that I have for you, says the Lord. Did you know that God daydreams about you? It says somewhere else in Psalms, I can't remember the reference right now, it says, and if we could count up the number of thoughts that he has about you, that they would outnumber the sands of the sea. So not only does God have imaginations about you and they're only good all the time, he apparently is thinking about you a lot. Praise God. So he has been mindful of you. And what is his mindfulness producing? It says, and he will bless you. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Let's do it like this. He will bless the house of Holloman. That's what you just wrote down. Cool. Why don't you try that on ahead? Say, he will bless the house, and then throw in your last name. Go ahead. How'd that feel? If some of y'all that was uncomfortable, I'm going to encourage you over the next several days. You just need to throw, he will bless the house of Holloman. You need to throw your name in there because he's talking about you. He's mindful of you. He will bless those who fear him, small and great. So is he leaving anybody out? Notice verse 14. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, I'm a New King Jimmy kind of fan. You know what I mean by that? I'm New King James. I'm New King Jimmy. But in this one, I like Old King Jimmy a little bit better. Right? Because in the Old King James, it says, because New King Jimmy throws that may in there. And it can kind of confuse us. May you be blessed. We don't. And some people, I don't know. In Old King James, it says, the Lord shall increase you. More and more, you and your children, it says then, you are blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, guys, you know, it would have been cool if God would have just said he wanted to bless you. It would have been great if he said, you know what, I'm going to increase you. But he had to throw out the more and more. Which means about the time you're getting good at whatever tomorrow, he's ready to make you better the day after tomorrow. Hey, thank y'all for the thunderous. Amen. More and more. Forever and ever. Sounds like the new. He wants to take you from glory to glory. He wants to take you from faith to faith. He wants to take you from prosperity to prosperity. He wants to take you from health to health. From influence to influence. Why? Because he's just the God of increase. Have you ever thought about that verse? It says, your cup runneth over. And it messes up every OCD believer out there. Right? Because see, apparently God has no problem with pouring the sweet tea in your glass and it just don't stop. And it'll fill up the glass and it'll run off the table and run on the floor and run out the door of your house and make a river for people to come get them some sweet tea. Because he's the God of more and more. So y'all need to get ready for more people. Y'all need to get ready for more influence. You need to get ready for more youth to come out of the schools. You need to get ready. You need to get ready to give up your favorite seat in this place. Amen. You need to get ready to make room for someone to take your place. Amen. Because he wants to be more and more. Praise God. Is this all right? I'm bumping time. I mean, is that all right? Who will give me 5 minutes? Might give me five more? 5, 10, 15, 20. What do you mean, no? You're ready to dunk people. More and more. You ready for more baptisms? Man, there's so much more that we could say, but let's just land the plane on this thought. So then how do we do that? All sounds good, Brad. It preaches real good, gets everybody excited. But what does that look like? Go to 3 John. 3 John, verse 2. It says again in New King James, it says, and beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. I think Old King James says it something like this. Beloved, I wish, it's my will that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Right, so number one, we see in this one verse that John tells us, remember, because John was Jesus' BFF, right? Y'all remember that? Amen. And so John is giving us insight. He says, hey, listen, it was always Jesus' will for you to prosper. It was his great wish that you are prosperous and you are in health, even as your soul prospers. And that word soul is the word that talks about it includes your imagination and your thinking. How do I increase? Is I first have to imagine and see myself increasing. You have to take the time to actually do biblical meditation, which isn't the emptying of your mind, but it is the focusing of your imagination on the will of God. So I'm going to encourage you, what it looks like is whatever God is talking to you right now, and I believe this whole morning he's been talking to you, he's been highlighting things to you, he's been reminding you of things, he's been saying, hey, listen, I want to increase you in that area, I want to increase you with this, I want to increase. So I got to just pick on you for a minute, Chris. You got to see your whole ranch full of cows. I want you to walk over your property. Before they come, you're in a mat. What do you want to see on that place? What do you want to imagine? What can you see? And allow the Holy Spirit to paint an image in your mind of what his will is, his plan is, and see yourself in it. That's what that verse means. It's not just a nice, I mean, I know some people say, oh, John was just greeting Gaius there. Hey, Gaius, hope you're doing good. And that's not what he was saying. He was saying, hey, listen, God's will is that he increase you. His method is that he'll begin to first increase your imagination. That you will see it with the eyes of your heart before you see it with your physical eyes. That's why Paul prayed that prayer over the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1 when he said, Lord, that the eyes of their imagination would be opened. That's what the eyes of their understanding, it says, but it means that the eyes of their mind, the eyes of their imagination, Lord, that you would open up their imagination and they would see the hope of their calling. They would see the riches of their inheritance because they're in the saints. They would see the exceeding greatness of your power towards them because they believe. So you have to see your calling in your imagination. How many people you want? I'm asking you, how many people you want? And you don't have to answer me right now, but you do need to answer the question. How many people do you want? Amen. What do you want to see? What do you want to see in your life? Right? See it. Let the Holy Spirit fuel your imagination. That is actually what is called the word prayer in the New Testament. There are many reasons why people's prayers don't seem to work is they haven't seen it yet. The word prayer literally means a near wish. Again, anybody got a 10-year-old like me? Right here got a 10-year-old? Anybody got a 10-year-old just like mine? My 10-year-old, it's January, right? His birthday is at the end of September. About January 2, he lets us get past the holidays. But about January 2, he goes, hey, Daddy, for my birthday. And he brings pictures, right? Hey, for my birthday, he sends things on Amazon. Hey, for my birthday, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you just get me one of these? We just got through Christmas, boy. But that's the word, that's the near wish. When we go to pray with God, it's a near wish. We're going to Him and going, hey, Daddy, I'd like this. I can see it. Hey, would you mind filling up our church with this many people? Hey, would you mind giving us this place? Hey, Daddy, would you mind if we just kind of took over the whole Tri-City area just a little bit? Would you mind? Hey, Daddy, would you mind if our influence just went ahead and covered the whole state of Arizona? Would you mind? You know, I can see something, and it's my birthday coming up. Because He wants to increase you more and more. And finally, and we'll land and say, if you want to get ready, I want you to lead the church family in this, in an imagination. She does this so well with our people. But last verse, Ephesians chapter 3. Because Ephesians chapter 3 says this, and it's another prayer of Paul's. He just gets through praying it. But then he says this in verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or imagine. That's what that word is. Does your asking and your imagining match up? Or, again, if you're like me too many times, I can imagine real big, but then I ask real small. And you know the many reasons why we imagine big and ask small is not because we're afraid of failure. It's because we're truly afraid of what success would mean. Because if I succeeded, then what am I going to do? If I was healthy, then where would I go? Because it's easiest for us to play small. But we don't serve a God of small. Who do we serve? A God of increase. So God wants our thinking to increase so our asking can increase. Because he is the one who wants to do exceedingly abundantly above what I'm imagining and what I'm asking. Because here's what I've learned, church family, about the time God can get me to wrap my little pea brain around it, he's thinking bigger. He's just trying to get me to catch up. Amen? So how many of you would like to increase today? How many of you already, you can say God's been talking to you about something in your life? Amen. You've already been seeing an area. And again, whether that's an area to deal with your family, whether that's an area to deal with your calling, whether that's an area to deal with your ministry, whether that's an area to deal with your finances, whatever the area is, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this whole morning, Holy Spirit has been highlighting things to you. And he's been saying things to you, I need you to think bigger here. I need you to not be small in this area. I want to do more here, and more, and more, and more, and more. So let's get ready to imagine for the first time today. You lead us, say?
Hello.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We've covered a lot of different areas. And so I'm going to start with something very basic that applies to everyone, okay? So I want you to close your eyes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You know how when you're a kid or 13 or 15, you bound out of bed and you just go about your business and there's no pains, no aches, nothing's missing, nothing's broken. Your back's not sore. You didn't have to pop your glasses on. You're not hunched over. You don't need any paraphernalia to help you walk. You slept great. Okay? We're going to imagine that, because one of the things that was said over us is that he's going to increase our health and vitality. So right now, let's just take a moment and let's pretend that you're getting up out of bed. And in your mind, before your eyes just popped open and you feel the presence of God in your room. And he is there. And he is so excited to go and create a beautiful day with you. So before you get out of bed, imagine all the people you're going to come across today, whether at work or the grocery store or the bank or just running your errands or at school, your classmates. Think of all the people you're going to come across and how you're going to get to love on them. Maybe they need healing. Maybe you're going to get to tell them, what, that hurts? Oh, no, we can't have that. Can I put my hand on your shoulder? We're just going to pray. And my God loves to heal people. And so you don't even give them a chance to say much. You just pray for them. And then they go, oh, my gosh, it's gone. That headache was gone. Can you imagine that with me? You haven't even gotten out of bed yet. And you're already excited about going and loving people in your world in such a beautiful way. Let's just say you're grocery shopping and the gal that's checking you out with all your groceries and taking your payment, she's there, but she's not happy to be there. And you just smile real big and you say, did you know how crazy God is about you? Can I just pray for you right now? And you don't even wait for an answer. You just start calling blessing on that person's life. And all of a sudden, they start crying and something breaks. And then you say, you need to come to church with me. I saw it outside. Jesus changes everything. Hey, guys, you haven't even gotten out of bed yet. And you're already creating a beautiful, exciting day full of God's power flowing through you, loving on people who are right in front of you. And you start praising him and thanking him because you just heard the news that your church family has to move to a new building. And you start envisioning the vast, beautiful facility God has provided in a miraculous way. And it's going to seat everybody so far plus 50%. And you might have to have two services in 3 months' time. And it's exciting. And you feel the excitement because y'all are going to go move in soon. And you're volunteering and you're bringing your truck. And we're going to load up all this stuff from the children's department. And even more, because we're going to need more. Maybe you're one of the musicians and you're excited about the new instrument that's coming, the new sound system that's coming. Imagine it. Get excited. And realize that the context of that provision was so miraculous. There's a beautiful story. Make up the story. How did God provide that? This is how we play with our imagination, our sanctified imagination, to start envisioning what God wants to give us. Amen. And man, we've been in bed for about 15 minutes just imagining all the great stuff. But you know, we need to get up and get this started. We need to get this party started. So guess what you do? You bound out of bed.
Amen.
You heard me. You bound out of bed. There is nothing sore, nothing. You don't have to take it slow. Your feet don't hurt when you hit the floor.
Come on.
You bound out of bed with so much energy, and you stretch. And when you stretch, you go, hallelujah, I'm just going to leave my arms up here and praise Jesus for such a glorious day. And nothing hurts. Your neck doesn't have a kink in it. You're not sore from sleeping. You are so full of energy because you slept well. And as you walk with a pep in your step to start getting ready for the day, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. And you have so much energy. You cannot wait. You cannot wait. Hallelujah. You are whole. You are healed. And then for good measure, you're going to go for a walk before it gets really hot. And so let's go for a walk. So you go and you put on your really good for you high-end tennis shoes. Not the $30 ones that everybody else gets. This is a serious walk. And your body deserves the best. And you're God's kid. And you can get the good ones.
Amen.
So put those on. Get your workout clothes on. And with that pep in your step, you're going to go for a walk. And you're going to go for a walk in nature, and you're going to praise God for all the handiwork of his hands, the crafted beauty around you. And you're going to praise him, and you're going to celebrate, and you're going to thank him for his faithfulness of where you're at in your life. You're going to tell him how much you love your life because he has brought you to this place. You're going to tell him with tears in your eyes how grateful you are that your children serve the Lord and your grandchildren that are coming. You're going to tell him how grateful you are for the home that he has blessed you with and all the beautiful furnishings in that home that he blessed you with. And there's a story behind everything of his goodness and his faithfulness and his love for you. Hallelujah. And you're just going to thank him. There's gratitude on your lips constantly. And this is just a 30-minute walk. And you get back, and now we're going to have a healthy breakfast and get going. Because he's so good.
Hey.
All that junk you used to like, you don't go for that anymore. Your body craves the good stuff. Because you're healthy. You're fit. You're strong. You're vibrant. Hallelujah. 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 And then you see someone from church. And it's almost like one of those Dr. Scholl's commercials. Hey, it's a good day. Yeah, it's a good day. And you just smile and you hug and you high five. And you say, let's go create a great day with our Heavenly Father today. Isn't He good? For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, stand on your feet this morning. We're turning back over to Pastor Chad. Amen. That is biblical meditation. Well, I encourage you, make this a regular practice to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God fuel your imagination and see the plan of God in your life. And then simply go and walk it out and enjoy the journey. Amen. So let's raise our hands. Just thank God for whatever He's told you today. Amen. Just be grateful to Him. Amen. Pastor Chad. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that awesome? Amen. Let me just say just a couple of things. Thank you so much, Pastor Brad and Selena. Thank you. That was amazing. That when they're talking about that imagination, that really that whole that's hand in hand with expectation. Of expectation. Here's the biggest thing, because this is a deal in Chino. And this is something that plagued me for many years. The things that have held me back of what God has wanted to do in my life regarding lack and poverty hasn't been because I wasn't measuring up to God or because of my lack of my intelligence or whatever. I'll tell you what always held me back was a spirit of religion. Religion. Things, I know how it is, so some of you hearing this today could have something that's pressing against that. I'm telling you that. That's a religious mindset that actually rules over Chino Valley. I'm thankful for Jesus using churches like Family Church, breaking that, meant that poverty mentality, that religious mentality, of breaking that in Jesus' name. You know how that's going to happen? Not just by binding things, it's by you and I showing that in our lives. Not just flaunting things, but showing what God has done in our lives, walking in His joy and His wisdom and His strength. Do you agree with that? So,
yes,
Father,
totally.
Thank you for that imagination and expectation of what you're going to do in Family Church in Jesus' name, Father God. Thank you, Father, that you are more than enough in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Father God, for supplying all our needs according to your riches and glory, Father God. Lord, thank you for breaking, Father God, religious mindsets in our lives that hold us back, that we take pride in these things, Father God, that they're not even of you. Lord, thank you for breaking that. And Father, thank you for releasing a godly imagination in our lives according to the Word of God, according to your love, according to your mercy. Father God, thank you, Father God, that you're a lavish God in our lives, Father God. Thank you, Psalms 23, that He has this table, this bountiful table that He prepares for us. Amen. Right there in the presence of the enemy or anything trying to press against us. Father, we receive that. We bless you. We honor you. You agree with that? I agree with that. You may not, but I do. And you need to. I'm telling you need to. Hey, I want to say this. I really want to show the Hollimans our appreciation of them coming. If you could bless them, if you could financially bless them, their trip, they came out here from Alabama and doing some ministry. If you could earmark it, put it in the back, just earmark special speaker of the Hollimans. Let's bless them today.
Yes.
Amen. Let's show their appreciation of sowing the Word of God and the power and the truth of God in our lives. Can we do that? Amen.
Yes. So good.
Thank you. With that, and then as we release, make sure you go out the doors, go to the right, go down, and celebrate a time of baptism with us. Would you do that? Amen. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And as we always pray, we thank you, Lord, for being with us for the remainder of the day. And, Lord, being with us for the best day of the week, Monday being the very best of the week. We thank you for blessing our week in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you for coming to church this morning.